Order the AIP committee. Approve of the minutes July 3rd and July 22nd, please.
A second.
Any discussion? Sure. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Building and grounds.
Morning.
Morning.
Just one item this morning. We're requesting authorization to extend our contract with CW Piping for sprinkler, special hazard systems, and backflow inspections for 90 days. Been using them. I came to you guys before, you folks before with this. We wanted to vet some of the bids we got back. We weren't real pleased with them. So we're looking at options for a state contract and still comparing to make sure that we're not going to get over what we've been spending in the past with state contract versus putting it out to bid. But so we got to extend this for 3 days because we currently don't have a or 90 days. We currently don't have a contract with them. So that's what I'm requesting and why.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Just three quick updates. Mental health project. We just got pushed with our doors to potentially November from August. So that puts that behind a little bit. Our clerk glass, security glass is going in the next week or two. Two lights on the exterior, high powered LED, high lumens. They'll be getting installed also in the next week or two for security out there. Yesterday, in conjunction with the jail, working with those folks, we poured out their dog pad and their employee break area. Came out very good. Jail did a nice job getting it all formed up and ready for us. And I think that's everything. That's it. So they have a canine or a few canines. I'm not sure exactly that. Sometimes when they bring them in the building, they'd rather leave them outside for fresh air and stuff versus bringing them in the building. So this is a pad. They can be stowed out of the sun and it can be cleaned and so forth to support that process.
Do you have any information on when that, railroad crossing is going to be done on the intersection of May Street and Morris, East Morris? And I know it's being funded by the state. It's just,
no, but I can find out for you
during this season, the summer season.
Yeah, let me check on that, Scott. I'm not exactly having any updates on that.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the state road, so we can check and get details.
Yeah, I'll do so.
That it, sir?
That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marie?
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So just a couple updates. The New York State Septic System Replacement Program, we did just complete our first full one from like beginning to end for the newest round. Everything went well. So now we have a really good example, and it's at the state right now to get the reimbursement for that. Then the other thing is the agricultural districts 2 and 7 that we talked about last month. That mail-in should be going out today, all 605 pieces of it. So lots of labels, lots of folding. So, and Elliot and I will be helping Amanda get those out. So that's kind of exciting that we're doing 2 in conjunction, but, you know, in total, almost like mostly 3 in 1 year that we're doing. So we're getting to be pros at it. And that's pretty much it.
On the septic program, how many systems did you put in? Do you know?
Not total. I'm going to guess maybe a dozen.
How many? I'm sorry.
I think probably about 12. Okay. I'm guessing 12 because we just redid the files, everything. And I've got it all, like everything is now all set out. So now myself and my staff knows from beginning to end. And of course, we've had some that call and really, really want it, but they have to be within 250 feet of one of the compromised waterways. So we've had multiple calls with the DEC and the EFC just to clarify exactly how to administer it. And those have been really helpful too. So this is the first one this year that did it. And I actually drove by it too. It's a raised system. So a little bit out of the ordinary. And, you know, I suppose that's a little bit hard to disguise, but it looked okay.
Yeah. Well, those are expensive systems.
Yeah.
Raised beds, yeah.
Yeah. And due to the size of the parcel and everything else, it's pretty much all they could do. Because it was a small parcel right across the street from the lake, one of the first houses there. So, all right.
Any questions for Marie?
Thanks.
Thank you. County manager.
Yeah, a few items and apologies. They've come up in the last 24 hours or so. Weights and Measures has received historically, since I can remember, about $2,000 a year in state funding to help offset the cost of inspecting fuel pumps. We just received notice that they're increasing it to $7,480 a year. Because it's above your budget, because it's a state grant, we'd just like to bring it to you for acceptance. Just help offset the cost of the office.
A second.
Any further questions?
Any idea what spurred the increase?
No. And I mean, it's great.
You never question them, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have $5,000 more a year, but but it's so, I don't know, probably just something in Albany that they said, here's a little extra money. So,
yeah. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Okay. Thank you. And one thing, not necessarily looking for action today, but wanted to refresh after talking with Kevin from Conference and Visitors Bureau. If you recall, last year, they presented the idea of a destination grant program using the short-term rentals funding. And working with Mitch and Tammy, they've been able to pull, we're now far enough with Granicus, the software that helps track that for the registrants. We have a few quarters under our belt now. Obviously, that was delayed, as we talked about in the past. We anticipate anywhere between $300,000 and $400,000 a year in short-term rental funding or short-term rental receipts for room tax. So pretty significant. So at least from my standpoint, from a budget standpoint, I feel more comfortable in their request for separate funds for them to administer a grant program so that, you know, I think the Benjamin Patterson Inn was one example of a request that we received. They could handle those sort of requests. Just to put on your, you know, for you folks to think about in speaking with Mike here just before, I'm thinking to start off just as a suggestion or a recommendation, $100,000. If we're going to receive between three and four, $100,000 would be something to get them started and give them a little bit of room to take a look and see, you know, what kind of grants they receive through their own program. Just putting that for you, maybe bring it for formal action either at a special meeting if you want at the end of this month, or we could do it in September. But just wanted to put that out there to get you thinking about it again, because we now finally have, you know, some good data during busy season about what we expect to get from that.
Did Kevin, I know he's got several requests already. Yep. Did he give you a kind of an idea of what he's got in the wait?
Not really. No, and I can have those conversations with him in the meantime. You know, we talked about, I think ideally they'd like to be able to get to 200,000, just, you know, in the various conversations I've had with him. But I think if we start at 100, that'd give him a good chance to, you know, that's a pretty good slug of money, especially since these are supposed to be 50-50 matching grants, the way that they're proposing it, so that the organization like a Benjamin Patterson Inn would have to, you know, put 50% of their own money up too. So I thought 100 might be a good way to start.
So the process is we're going to have a committee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look at those applications and then it comes to the legislature.
Yes. CVB would have a grants review committee. It would come to this committee and then forwarded to the board for award. We'd try to combine them. So you do them all in a month or something like that, not just kind of one at a time. But
yeah.
So
super.
All right. More action to come then. If that sounds like a reasonable kind of framework, yes, then we can work with it. Okay. Thank you. That's it for me.
Depends, I guess, on what Kevin has.
Yeah. And I can talk to him and get more information.
I apologize. We're going to have to change the schedule for the outside agencies. Mr. Parker from Soil and Water has had a last minute change in his schedule, so he's requested that he go up first.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
I got to hand out a piece of paper, otherwise you're not.
That doesn't always mean
even
we know.
Though, even though I said, hey,
join the meeting.
Presentation.
I was going to say, Jeff, you think that piece of paper is going to help?
Right.
Thank you, sir. That's we're good.
You're good.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Moisture.
You said that everybody else.
Thanks.
The reason I'm doing it this way is so I can do the presentation a little more expedient than the four pages that I've sent you prior. Because the important thing you need to understand is where my funding comes from and how I combine that with county appropriation dollars. Here we go. Thank you for letting me go first again. Currently, is that on? Okay. Red light's on. Does that
mean green.
Green.
We're green. I want to explain to you that I've been understaffed since before 2019. I currently now have, at the Soil and Water District level, including myself, 8 district employees now. I was only working with 3 or 4 since COVID, but now we're back up to speed. So with that being said, now you know what major part of my budget is. Salaries and benefits. But I want to go down over this district funding program funding list with you. And I can't see fine print anymore. So the two top ones, district stream bank, is the appropriation that you give me for $75,000 a year to run that program that we use to cost share with landowners and municipalities and farmers on doing district stream bank projects. Last year, I pretty much spent $382,000 with your $75,000. So that $75 I use to leverage other monies through grants and municipality funding and private landowner funding to take your $75,000 and make it somewhere around $300 annually. We have an earned income program where I sell everything that isn't nailed down to make money. grass seed, mulch, we have a contract with New York State DOT. I sell them all their materials for hydro seeding. That's how I make some money. Plus, we sell grass seed. The state funding, we have technical reimbursement, Part A. That's a standard blanket funding reimbursement. If I spend $120,000 in my budget on a year, they'll give me $60,000. So that's where that money comes from. The Conservation Assistance Program, that is implementation dollars that we use to do a project. So it's only $6,000. This year, we're doing an embedded culvert in the town of West Union for trout habitat passage. Performance measure money is where we get a lot of our state dollars from. Performance measures is based on our performance in the field, in the office, in the administration of the entire program. I get points or credits for making sure my board of directors receive training, making sure the staff receives training, making sure that we're running the operation in a means where we are fiscally responsible, and all that goes into the performance measures. And Bob can attest to that, because every time we say it's time for you to step up and go to a meeting, Bob, He says, is this for performance measures? I said, yes, sir. So that's how we make that money. The Ag Environmental Management Program is a grant through Ag and Markets, which we do agricultural work, both implementation, and it pays for technical assistance. So that's how I get some of my money back to pay salaries for those individuals doing that program. Of course, FEMA, that's just project work. Some of that has occurred, and some of it is going to occur this year. But we got granted like $628,000. Hopefully those are small projects. We can actually maybe make a couple bucks on that when we get done with those projects. So the Upper Susquehanna Coalition, this is the Chesapeake Bay Coalition, where we have to monitor all the agricultural best management practices that are installed in Steuben County and that watershed, for the database to send to EPA so that we can get our water quality credits, basically showing that we are keeping our clean water clean for the bay and the oysters are all happy down there. That currently we're receiving about $92,000 for that program. That also pays for staff time. The Finger Lakes Lake Ontario Watershed Protection Alliance is a state-funded program through the Environmental Protection Fund. We're currently receiving about $98,000 a year for that. That's used for projects and my part-time hydroseeder salary. Some of that money goes towards part of his salary. Upper Susquehanna Coalition, I have a contract with them for technical reimbursement for that program. So that's where that money comes from. We have a state assistance municipal grant that I got through Assemblyman Phil Pomazzano for $50,000. We're working on cleaning that grant up this year. Climate Resilient Farming Grant we applied for. We got approved for $511,000. Finger Lakes Cover Crop Grant, which is a new grant we just received this year. We have allocations of $30,000 going out to agricultural producers doing cover crops in that Cuca Lake watershed. The Upper Susquehanna BMP verification is where we get paid for having to go out in the field and verify the best management practices that have been installed on agricultural properties so that, again, we can keep the Chesapeake Bay clean. So in total, you can see we're pushing $2 million worth of project money through combined resources through the state and the county. So basically, if you take that for every dollar you're giving me, I'm giving you about $11.27 back. I realize it doesn't go into the county's pockets, but it's going into the taxpayer pockets. Okay, that's where our money comes from. In less than what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So what are we asking for fiscal year 2025? My general operation budget is going to be somewhere around $1,117,000 and some change. The stream bank program is going to be at $75,000 again. So my total budget is going to be $1,192,780. Our county appropriation for 2024 was $173,676 for our general operation budget. The stream bank program was at $75,000. So for 2024, the total funds that the county gave us was $248,767. We're asking for only a $3,000 increase in our general operation budget from the county appropriation. So it will be an increase of $3,000 for 2025 to the county. The rest of it, we're going to make ourselves through the state and our other programs.
Any questions for Mr. Parker?
My budget, I'm sticking to it.
No questions?
No questions.
Statement. I think this is some of the best money we spend as a county.
Yeah, we do.
And the people actually see the results of it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
Why, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you.
Thanks a lot.
My 10:30 appointment.
Southern Tier Libraries.
Good morning, members of the legislature and the AFP committee. My name is Brian Hildreth. I'm the executive director of Southern Tier Library System. We want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to take the floor this morning. As far as budget requests, we're asking for flat funding over 2024 for 2025, which is $79,600. In a moment, my colleagues, Leanne Rumsey from the Dorman Library, Denise Chilson from the Hornell Public Library, and Pauline Emery from the Southeast Steuben County Library are going to talk a little bit about just a small sample of the work that they do and how those funds are used to support it. The thing that I want to share with you just quickly is the fact the state of public libraries in Steuben County are really good. Since we've come out of the pandemic, the number of library materials that are being used, the number of visitors that are coming to libraries, the number of programs that are being offered, the number of people attending programs, the number of public computers that are being used on an everyday basis through our broadband connectivity, and the number of Wi-Fi sessions continue to grow from each year to the next, to the point where most of those measurable categories are back to pre-pandemic levels. So that's something that we should all be proud of and excited about. The other thing that I just want to share quickly is this was the first year that we implemented what is called the StarQuest Library Tour, where we encourage community members and library users from one community to use the libraries and visit the communities of the 47 other libraries in Southern Tier Library System. We kicked off that program on July 1st, and as of today, roughly more than 2,000 people are participating in that program, where we have folks that are coming in from Allegheny, Chemung, Schuyler, and Yates counties visiting communities within Steuben County to foster economic development across the region. We're super excited about it. We hope you guys will participate in it as well. And at this time, I'm going to introduce Denise Chilson from Hornell Public Library to talk a little bit about the work that they do in Hornell. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Denise Chilson, and I'm the director of the Hornell Public Library. I'm a member of the Director's Advisory Council, and I'm one of the representatives for libraries that serve populations between 5,000 and 15,000 people. We strive to meet the needs of communities in a tremendous number of ways, as you'll hear today. I'll be speaking about three areas where we have seen a spike in service needs from around the county. Since late January of this year, libraries have been reporting a substantial uptick in the use of community spaces, meeting rooms by organizations and individuals seeking safe spaces for supervised visits. At Hornell Public Library, we went from the occasional supervised visit to up to four families a day coming to use our limited space for these visits. So many libraries in the STLS system saw such a large increase, we had to request guidance from STLS as to how to manage the many needs of these groups, as well as create a system to work with organizations in the county so we can accommodate those needs effectively. The funding you provide helps us better assist our communities in navigating the need for safe meeting spaces. Libraries also order and provide state federal tax forms for community members. Library staff assist with finding the forms they need either in paper format or on the irs.gov website. And as with many other agencies and organizations, the move toward paperless filing creates an issue for people who are not so tech savvy. Libraries do not provide tax advice nor file taxes for people, but we do provide the tech help so people can do it themselves. This includes, but is not limited to, teaching people how to use a computer, teaching them how to use email, recovering email and passwords, assisting with cell phones, because everything needs to be double authenticated these days, and providing a patient second set of eyes when asked for help. Last but not least, probably the biggest programming we provide is summer reading and learning. This summer's theme is Adventure Begins at Your Library. However, summer programming usually begins around January and February. Our libraries seek to provide entertainment, STEM and STEAM learning opportunities, and the chance to highlight collaborations with other community organizations, and most importantly, encourage students to keep reading to prevent summer slide. The Hornell Public Library, as well as other libraries in this county, have seen record-breaking numbers in participation this year. As of July 1st, the Hornell Public Library has had over 40 programs and almost 1,500 participants. We have already surpassed the number of reading hours logged from last year's participants. Kids 18 and younger have reported over 530 hours of reading. And that's just the people who are recording their numbers and bringing them to us so we can keep track. The funds Steuben County provides to libraries also goes towards these motivating summer programs. And we are extremely grateful for the funding you provide. And it continues to allow us to help communities in many, many ways. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Leanne Rumsey. I'm the director of the Dorman Library in Bath. And I'd like to share with you three more ways that our libraries add value to our communities. First, as you well know, Bath is our county seat, and our library is just a stone's throw from the county office building. As such, people from all over our county come to the library for assistance with all kinds of forms, from DSS, Medicare, and unemployment, to legal forms for evictions and custody cases. The Real Property Office, right here, often now hands out instructions with some of their forms that specifically direct people to go to the Dorman Library for help. We provide the computers, internet, printing, and all manner of assistance in filling out, printing, and uploading all these kinds of forms. And we include free notary public service as well. As another community service, we partner with New York State Ed, the USDA, and Haverling Central Schools to participate in the Free Summer Meals for Kids program, assisted by AmeriCorps Senior Volunteer Program participants. We serve healthy lunches Monday through Friday to kids up through age 18. We also schedule various programs and learning activities to coincide with these lunch times. Finally, our libraries do their part in emergency preparedness for our communities. For example, during the COVID years, the Dorman worked with public health to distribute thousands of free COVID tests and masks. And with help from STLS, we provided free 24/7 Wi-Fi access in our parking lot. More recently, in Steuben County, there are 17 cooling and in the winter warming stations listed on the New York State Department of Health website. Every single library in Steuben County is a cooling station, and every single cooling station in Steuben County is a library. We are happy to offer our spaces to community members as a safe, free, and comfortable place to cool off, quench their thirst, and if they so desire, to learn and to grow as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Pauline Amory, and I'm the director of the Southeast Steuben County Library located in Corning, New York. I want to just talk about the connections that we have with the county. We love to be a polling location, so we thank you for thinking of us when you need a polling location for the community. We also are really happy about the Narcan program that you have. We've gone through like a full box already. And though that may sound sad, the idea that it's helping people potentially survive is paramount. So thank you for that program. Also, I just want to talk about, as some of the other directors talked about, the agencies we work with, to kind of give you a sense of all the ways libraries connect, not just with county programs, but other nonprofits and even businesses. We work with the Red Cross on a regular basis to provide blood draw programs throughout the year. We work with Care First. Care First provides grief story times for children and teens and families. And they also table at the library so people understand all the things that Care First offers. We work with the Bath VA. They do tabling. They're doing their gun luck handouts. We've handed out a lot of those. And we're also going to be working with them on their Suicide Prevention Month. We're going to have trainings for staff, not just nonprofits, but also open to the community. We work with the Food Bank of the Southern Tier to offer weekly kids farmers markets, which are wonderful. They see upwards of 150 families. So it's wonderful to see young people picking out their own food, actually getting excited by even Brussels sprouts. So that's a good thing. We also provide a fall prevention and testing once a year through Arnett Health. They come and they help people. They'll do a test to see if you're at risk for falling and also give you different types of exercises to improve your balance. Also, we work with the arts. The arts provides so many wonderful grants to libraries throughout Steuben County, and that also keeps artists working. So, you know, it's kind of adding back through straight federal funds, and then it gets dispersed back into the community in a variety of ways. We also work with our towns that we are represented by: City of Corning, Town of Corning, Town of Irwin, Town of Lindley, Caton, and we provide programs in those communities. We've been doing in Lindley and Irwin and Town of Corning free family films, which sometimes have an activity before or after. The ones we do in the City of Corning, we provide either ice skating or swimming before. So we work with the parks programs there as well. We work with ProAction for a variety of things. And the Parent Resource Center is upstairs, so we do a lot of collaborations. We work with BOCES for their GED program. We provide that space. We work with the ESL program. We also have staff that help them. And we work with the League of Women Voters. If they want to do voters drives, there's tabling opportunities and local businesses. So these are just a few things that I just kind of want to put out there, that libraries really do connect in a lot of ways. And it's just a way to, if you're funding other organizations too, it's a way to get that information out there. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
At this time, we'd be more than happy to answer any questions of the legislature.
Well, the libraries are certainly a critical part of my district. I have three libraries in my district, and they're all active. Beautiful buildings, a lot of hard work. Those people put a lot of hard work into collecting money and raising money. And so thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you.
I guess I would, more of a comment than a question, and this is mainly on the Southeast Steuben County Library. So it went from a municipal funded library of seven municipalities, and they formed this library that now attaches to the school budget vote in 2000. And their budget originally, we were giving $640,000 total. Their first year's budget was $750,000 when they became their own entity. Last year it was $911,000, and they actually got approved by the voters a 62% increase to $1,479,000. The comment in the press was that they needed the additional money to take care of facilities. My question is, your foundation is $7 million as of your 2022 990 filed. Your foundation was $7,081,000 in value. It had earned $345,000 in interest that year. What's the foundation for if that's not to take care of facilities?
So that is for now. That previously, our endowment was used for our operational funds. That's not sustainable. So having the funds come from the community to support our operational budget allows us now to use that endowment for capital projects, which with a building like that, as you know, there's constant capital projects. So now we're able to be sustainable and do capital projects. That's why we did that.
I appreciate the work you guys do. You're very passionate about it, and it's good for the community. From a financial standpoint, I would ask the question, when does it stop the increases? Because the taxpayers, I mean, I'm amazed that they voted to approve it. I think it's because it's tied to a school district vote that it just gets approved. But they can't continue to keep paying that. I mean, when Corning Incorporated is cutting jobs, the economy is in a bad state, and then you come in with a 62% request.
Yes. And I understand that, but as a library director, it is my duty and our board's duty to cover the operational costs. Our increases per year are like 3%. So we're not, we typically always ask for the allowable. This was the first year we overrode. So you're usually seeing a $23,000 to $26,000 increase, which is like under a dollar increase with your taxes per $100,000. So, you know, we're not, if you own more land, it's going to be more money, you know, that sort of thing, of course. But, you know, for the typical homeowner, it costs them like $100,000 home. It costs them $52 a year for the library. And you can, unlike a lot of taxes, you can turn around the very next day and do get that return on investment. Use your library, use the services. Those things are a way to get your, if you're really, you know, upset about having to pay it, I always say, come to the library. Save yourself money in other ways. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have rentals above the library, is that correct? You're still renting that, yes, those spaces? Yes.
And we, but we lost a tenant as well. So it's really hard to rent out to nonprofits. Not a lot of places want to expand, you know, more space. They're looking to kind of shrink space. So, you know, currently we're able to utilize that space for more programming. So that's what we're just doing now. So.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. For your time. Yep. Thank
you. Art Council, Southern Tier. Excuse me, Finger Lakes, Southern Finger Lakes.
Hi, everybody. My name is Connie Sullivan Bloom, and I'm the Executive Director of the Arts Council of the Southern Finger Lakes. And I want to thank you for having me here today. Last year, we received $51,300 from the county, which has allowed us to do the work I'm about to describe. And we respectfully request level funding this year. The mission of the Arts Council is to serve nonprofits and artists in Steuben, Schuyler, and Chemung County. We align with the Steuben County goals, specifically with increasing visitation from the outside the region and increasing the quality of life within the county. Despite uncertain economic and political times, the Arts Council's work continues to grow. And last year when I presented here, I presented the difference between where we were at the end of 2023 and where we had been before COVID, and we've continued to grow since last year. First, I'd like to talk about the increase in our grant programs. Administering re-grants is central to the Arts Council's mission. It's literally our job to help other organizations and individual artists get money. The Arts Council administers grant funds from two organizations, the Community Foundation and the New York State Council on the Arts, also called NISCA. Over the last 4 years, the Arts Council has doubled the grants we administer to local artists and organizations. And although we are a little more than halfway through the calendar year in 2024, is proving to be the largest grant-making year in our 50-year history. At the end of 2024, we will have awarded over $320,000 in funding, exceeding last year by $60,000. More details about this are in the written request that was sent to you in July. But as an example, the Arts Council was able to support a local author, Louise A. Bloom, who's written a play entitled We Were Interrupted, about the experience of Steuben County citizens during the COVID pandemic. The script is based on 40 interviews with Steuben County residents, and it will be performed at 171 Cedar Arts Center in November. Next, I'd like to talk to you about the increase in our folk arts programming. Our folk arts program is unique in the county and has been expanding. Folk arts are part of the community's heritage and cultural identity, but are frequently overlooked. A folk arts program offers us a very tangible way to explore the art of minority and rural populations. And though we are a little more than halfway through the year, the folk arts program has nearly doubled the number of people it reached last year. And again, more details are in the written request, but one example is a documentary video that was created in collaboration with United Steelworkers Local 1000 in Corning. I'd also like to talk about our programs for youth. As you all know, COVID impacted children's learning and well-being enormously, and that actually those impacts have continued along in these last couple of years. Our youth programming is outpacing last year's by 30%. One example of our youth programming is a summer teaching artist program. And as the libraries just brought up, one of the things that we need to worry about with kids is how they slide backward in the summer. So this reaches out to students in rural and underserved areas and provides them with art teachers who actually go to their youth services centers and provide them with art classes. These communities include Addison, Bath, Hornell, and Prattsburg. This year, the Arts Council's partnered with 17 community centers, libraries, and community organizations, more than doubling last year's.
So do you expect, looking at your charts, do you expect the youth attendance to be higher than last year?
Yeah,
now you're showing about half.
Right. That's because it's about half of the year, but we expect to be up about 30% by the end of the year.
Okay, good.
Our summer programming is actually happening now. And when I wrote the request, it hadn't happened, so those numbers aren't in there.
Okay.
Okay, this list is in no way exhaustive. The Arts Council manages a lot more programs and lists just a few. Make Art Monday, which distributes art kits to over 600 youth. Spring into Creativity, Poets and Play. We have a portfolio review program for high school students who are thinking of going to art school. This year, that's going to happen at CMOG, and it will happen in the fall. We also host artwork in our gallery, and that's just to name a few of the additional services. Last year was successful for another reason. We received a $50,000 capital grant from the state of New York to update and renovate our gallery and program space. We completed our endowment campaign, and we've revived our recycled fashion show. All of this hard work is possible due to our staff retention. The Arts Council employs 6 full-time staff who have displayed significant longevity and dedication. The average length of employment is 8 years. Professional experienced staff allow us to create and manage the increase of the programming and services you've just heard about. Finally, I want to point out that we are good stewards of our resources. Our finances are stable. As per our last audit, our income is diverse and sustainable. We receive 59% of our budget from the government, including Steuben County, and I thank you for that, but also from the National Endowment for the Arts and the New York State Council on the Arts. We receive 25% of our revenue from private foundations, including the Community Foundation and the Hilliard Foundation, and we receive 16% of our income from private donors and businesses. As good stewards, 84% of our expenses went to programming, only 10% to administration, and 6% to fundraising. We are committed to our mission and to support artists and cultural organizations in Steuben County. We believe that a stable and vibrant arts community is fundamentally important to the quality of life of residents in the county and to draw visitors to us. We respectfully request level funding with last year, and regardless of your decision, I want to thank you for being here today. Does anyone have any questions or further questions? Yeah, Hilda.
Hilda.
Microphone.
The video for the union.
Yeah.
They were mostly young people.
Yeah.
You might want to add a couple of older people who have benefited from the union and retirement or whatever.
Yeah, thank you.
But it was well done.
Yeah, thanks, Hilda. We're still working with the union on growing that documentary. So thank you.
No question, Connie, but just kudos to you and the job you do. I know I can speak for Corning. In the years, probably the past 5, 6, 7 years, large increase in some of the arts as you walk into the stores on Market Street. And I know that's due to your efforts, but I've just seen art really come alive in Corning. And I know it's you and others, you know, putting their effort forth. So I just want to, you know, let you know, keep up the good work. I like what I see there.
Thanks, Joe.
Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connie.
Tess.
I'm here today to talk about our budget request, but I was also asked by Kelly to talk a little bit about our showcase. So I did bring information as well.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
As she's doing that, I have to tell you, this thing, this area where this was held, it was way out in the country. For me, anyway, as a city person.
She told her that's my neck of the woods out there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well,
I think she called you backwoods.
Probably.
No, I didn't say that. She said out woods. In the country.
They held, they came to visit.
Pardon me?
But you did come.
I came. Is it just over the hill for you?
Yeah, it was only like 5 minutes away.
Really?
All right. So I am going to start with the budget request, though. So for those who may not know me, my name is Tess McKinley, and I am the executive director for Cornell Cooperative Extension in Steuben County. I've been there almost 5 years. I'm here today to request $445,000, which is a 3% increase from our request in 2023 of $432,000. First of all, I'd like to share a huge thank you for all of your support. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to fulfill our mission. And our mission is to put knowledge to work. So what we do is we provide education and programming with evidence-based resources from Cornell Research. So in the year 2023-2024, we had a lot of growth and we accomplished quite a bit. So we had our Veggie Van program and our Farm Trail event, both grew, and we are now on the third year of both events. Just in 2023, we started an Ag in the Classroom program with one educator going into 7 schools. This year, we have 2 educators going into a minimum of 9 schools, but we're still working on that. We did sunset our financial literacy program due to lack of funding from United Way and difficulty in getting attendance, and plus other nonprofits were beginning to duplicate that service. So we shifted to have another educator provide support for our Ag in the Classroom programming. This was voted on by our board of directors. We did move from having a regional Master Gardener program to having our own county-led one, and it was very successful. We also distributed over 300 container garden kits that were a value of about $100 per kit, thanks to a grant from New York State Ag and Markets. We had an increase in the amount of county and regional education programs for farmers. In 2023, we had over 300 enrolled 4-H'ers. We are the largest 4-H program in our 7-county Finger Lakes region. We hosted our first ever summer showcase a couple of weeks ago. We just, our board of directors doesn't know this yet, but we just got a renewal of our SNAP Ed Southern Finger Lakes grant. So the last 5 years, we brought in about $800,000 per year. We did receive funding to expand that. So we will be providing more education, and we are bringing in $1.1 million per year from our SNAP Ed grant. So we're very excited about that. And we are continuing to be the lead for the Finger Lakes Shared Business Network, which means that we are providing the IT, finance, and HR services for our 7-county region for Cornell Cooperative Extension. We started having that role a couple of years ago. So the county appropriation pays for staffing. What we get from the county helps pay our admin staff, so it helps pay our deputy director, it helps pay our communications coordinator, and our admin assistant. We do get other funding from them as well, though, for them. I'm actually paid for by New York State and other grants. The county appropriation helps pay for our 4-H program. helps pay for a small portion of our Ag in the Classroom program. It pays for our Agriculture and Natural Resources program leader, who provides a lot of agriculture and natural resources support to the community. And it pays for our shares in the regional teams. So if you aren't familiar with our regional teams, pretty much it's impossible for one to two people to know everything about anything living in our area. So what we do is we pay into these regional teams so that we get master's level and doctor level support for various things. So an example is we have a person in our office that has her PhD, and she's our potato person in the county. So that's an example of that. And the teams that we're a part of are the Southwest New York Dairy, Livestock, and Field Crops team, the Cornell Vegetable Program, and the Finger Lakes Grape Program. So while we do have a $2.5 million budget, because we get county funding, we are able to have that budget. It really helps us to get funding for other programs that we could not get that other funding without the county funding. Our other funding is also a lot more restrictive. So the county funds really help us to shift quickly and help the community as needed. So in 2025, we plan on continuing to grow our programming. So that means we want to continue to grow our Ag in the Classroom programming. We want to grow our Farm Trail Day. We had 9 farms that participated last year. We're planning on having 11 this year, and we're hoping to have more as the years go on. We'll continue to provide classes and programming based on 4-H youth interests while working to grow the program and youth participation. We'll continue to provide programming for our agriculture and natural resources realm of things. So we will continue to support farmers and homeowners. And with our additional funding now for SNAP Ed, that means that we will have additional staff in Chemung County and in Yates County. And we are working on expanding our veggie van and fruit and vegetable prescription program into those locations. So before we move on to anything else, does anybody have any questions on either the document you have in front of you or what you received prior to this?
Can you, it's not in your presentation or in the document sentence, but can you email us a copy of what your annual budget is?
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
What makes up the $2.5 million?
Yes, we can do that.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions? Okay. So Kelly actually asked me to give a brief update on our 4-H Summer Showcase. So that was a couple of weeks ago, and we had a great time. It was a relaxed environment. It's gorgeous. We did see a couple of legislators there. Thank you for supporting us. And if you haven't been out there, it is a horse farm. It's called Hendershot Halflingers. And we had a few tents set up for our youth building and for our animal shows. And we did have some food vendors, and it was just a nice event for the kids to have fun. I would like to make sure people understand, though, this is just a small part of 4-H. 4-H is an annual, year-long program, and we have a lot of other things that we do as well. For example, my son takes robotics, and he loves it. We actually, most of the time, we only have about a third to a half of our 4-H'ers participate in this type of event. A lot of them do their own thing in their own club, and that's okay. 4-H is meant to be youth-led, so we have programming and clubs based on what they want to do. So again, and again, so there's CCE, 4-H is a part of CCE, and then the Summer Showcase is a part of 4-H. Again, a small piece. While it is a small piece, we had... it was a lot of work and a great event, and we're excited to send 15 youth to the State Fair for Animal Science and 22 youth to the 4-H Youth Building at the State Fair. So, and we also had our Ag in the Classroom program there doing a lot of evidence-based education. So that was a fun way to keep everybody busy. And we also had 4-H'ers that worked in a food booth so that they could raise money for their club. And it was just a nice event. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Hilda.
I just want to say it was a great event. A lot of work on your part for the first time. And I know that you had a meeting yesterday to talk about lessons learned, et cetera. And I look forward to it next year, bigger and better. And that is an amazing place. It is an amazing place. I'm not a big fan of horses, but if you are, these are beautiful horses. I mean, absolutely gorgeous.
And we're very grateful for Hendershot's for their hospitality. They were one of 49 different showcase and award sponsors. So we had a lot of support from the community, which we greatly appreciate. So the funding for this did come from all of from grants and from all of the sponsors that participated in this. And then we also had quite a few people that supported the livestock sale, which again is a small piece of 4-H. Any other questions? Thank you for your time. And I'll make sure to send you the budget so that you can check that out.
Thank you.
And you know how to get a hold of me if you have any other questions.
Thank you, Tess.
Thanks, Tess.
Anything in the new business, sir? Mm-hmm. Motion to adjourn?
Move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries. Thank you.
Shannon, it was...